He stood, shaking his head, rubbing at his face and running fingers through his hair. His breathing remained labored, each inhalation shuddering. Defeated, she expected him to run. And she would have let him. He'd have lost himself down there and died. Or maybe he'd have gone farther than Osamael Or and disappeared into the old city forever. But he did not run. And when he looked up, she saw a completely different expression on his face. Rage. "Stay out of my head!" he roared, and he came at her. Lannery raised the blaster, but Dale somehow was quicker. His hand flashed out. She saw something flitting through the air between them, and then a cool pain erupted in her hand. She dropped the blaster and staggered back, looking at the slim metal blade stuck through her palm and slicing the heel of her hand in two. Then Dale was on her, and every second of attention he had paid at Stav Kesh came to the fore. Startled, Lannery failed to deflect the first punches and kicks. Dale's skills had always been in combat, and she reeled from the blows he rained down on her. She held her wounded hand to her side, but he aimed for it, one kick catching the blade and slicing deeper, a punch pressing her hand back against her hip and snagging the blade's end on her clothing. Lannery cried out in pain. Dale grinned. He came at her again, but this time she had recovered enough to be ready. As Dale fought with every martial talent and all the strength he had, so Lannery drew on her training, her years as a ranger, her closeness with the Force. Everything Dale hated, and she used it all against him. A punch caught Lannery across the shoulder, and she shoved with her uninjured hand, force-punching him across the cavern. He struck a column and slid down, struggling to stand again. Lannery snatched up the blaster and did not hesitate to pull the trigger. Nothing happened. The dropped blaster must have been damaged. Dale crouched, picked up a rock, and threw it. Lannery deflected it with the Force, and it shattered into dust. Dale drew two short knives from his belt and attacked once again. Lannery dropped the useless blaster and drew her sword, parrying his knife thrusts. She held the blade one-handed, but even then she knew she had the better of him. She almost felt sorry. Then he threw a knife at her face, and as she force-shoved it to one side, he leaped at the device. Lannery had no time to think, and if she had, she would have done the same. She swung the sword in a high arc, up over her head, down toward where Dale would meet the device. She closed her eyes at the last moment and felt the sickeningly familiar sensation of sword parting flesh. Something moved and hit the ground, and Lannery had to look. Dale's right arm lay severed beside the device, fingers still splayed. The blade was buried deep in the side of his head. He slumped down, moving slightly, eyelids flickering. He looked at Lannery, his body seeming to relax, and for the first time since childhood, she truly saw the Dale that had once been. But he no longer knew himself. Dale's eyes flooded red. Blood ran from his ears and nose. And then he was still. The sudden inaction and stillness came as a shock, and Lannery let out one heavy, startled sob of relief and sorrow. She probed out gently, expecting to feel rage and hate, his familiar anger at her touching him with the Force, and his determination to complete what he had begun. But there was no more Dale. Her brother was gone, and all that was left was this sad, broken body. She turned her back on Dale while she made sure the device was stable. She thought so. She also thought that the strange power she'd sensed down here 9 years before existed now as something like a held breath, matching the shattering potential of the device. The darkness at its heart was horrible. But she was not the one to deal with it. She had left the sword with Dale. It was not her real sword, and she had no wish to wipe her brother's blood from its blade. Soon, she would carry the device back to the surface and into the Peacemaker, and if Tree still lived, she would do what she could for him. Poor, brave Tree. She would transport them both to Anil Kesh, the Temple of Science. More talented Jedi than she would examine and make safe the device, and better healers would give Tree their full attention. She would demand that of them. She would insist. After that, she would meet the Jedi Masters who had set her on this mission. She would tell them everything that had happened and request permission to recover Dale's body so that she could take him home. She had decided that she would tell her parents everything. After all that, there was one more journey to take and some final questions to ask. Temple Master Law Mi would grant everything she asked because she might have prevented a cataclysm. What she would not tell the Jedi Masters, ever, was just how long she sat there next to her brother's cooling body, staring at his device's activation panel. Wondering? Only wondering. Chapter 19. Might.
I can never tell anyone what I saw in the depths of the old city. There are no words. But I hope one day I can show them.
Dalian Brock, Diaries, 10,661 TYA, though your arrival. In the end, she decided her parents could wait. That was a reunion she dreaded, and not only because she had killed her own brother. She dreaded it most because she had failed to save him a second time. Storms still raged across Tython as she coaxed her damaged peacemaker down onto one of Anil Kesh's landing pads. The ship needed repairs, and her droid required some special attention from those expert in such technologies. Most of all, Tree was balancing between life and death. She had done her best for him, but her brief ministrations might have been worthless. He needed the attention of someone experienced in force healing. She had spoken to him every moment of their brief flight to Anil Kesh, and though he was in a deep coma, she hoped it had done some good. It certainly made her feel better, no longer talking to herself. But Lannery's dark matters were not yet over. And even though her mission was all but completed, she sensed something greater occurring on Tython. Master Dam Powell met her on the landing pad, hood raised against the rain. Lannery, Dam Powell said with genuine affection. Lannery went to kneel, but Dam Powell pulled her into an embrace. She submitted to it and rested her head on the shorter master's shoulder.
Your balance is unsettled, Dam Powell whispered.
Yes, Master.